My sermon today is entitled, Welcoming Transformation. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are the one who strengthens us and redeems us. Amen. A doctor said to the patient, "You are in terrible shape. You've got to do something about it. First, tell your spouse to cook more nutritious meals. Stop working like a dog. Also, inform your spouse that you're going to make a budget and they have to stick with it. And have them keep the kids off your back so that you can relax. Unless there's some changes like that, you will be dead in a month." "Doc," the patient said, "this would sound more official coming from you. Could you please call my spouse and give them those instructions?" Well, when the patient got home, his spouse rushed up to him. "I talked to your doctor," they wailed. "You poor thing, you've only got 30 days to live." Let's admit it. None of us like the change. The spouse was not about to change how they live their life. We are creatures of habit. I've said a number of times, I know what I like and I like what I know. Today in our gospel passage, we hear Jesus challenging the temple hierarchy about their intransigence to change. And so I want to revisit the passage and its context. The first part of chapter 21, before what we heard today, we hear the triumphal entry, where Jesus rides into the city on a donkey, people are waving their palm branches, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And when he gets into the city, Jesus goes to the temple and drives out the money changers, cracking the whip. The money changers who change the secular currency into temple currency for the purchase of sacrifice. So the temple priests were pretty incensed about what Jesus had done in the last 24 hours. And they asked, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Now, today, I think we might hear that as someone saying, "Who do you think you are?" They really did not want an answer. Nor were they expecting one, as they already knew how they felt about it. Their minds were made up. They were not open to being transformed by Jesus or by anyone else. It had worked for them for centuries. They knew what God wanted, and they certainly knew what they wanted. And Jesus, knowing this, doesn't answer their question because they wouldn't accept his answer. So, he answers their question with a question. I also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven? Or was it of human origin? And they argue with one another back and forth. If we say from heaven, he will say to us, "Why need to believe him?" But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all we got John as a prophet. So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. Because by their saying we do not know, they gave up any authority they had. Christopher Birkin, in a blog on PreacherRhetorica.com, writes about this passage in a piece entitled, Who Do You Think You Are? He writes, Jesus turns the tables on those who challenge his authority by posing a difficult question. Did the baptism of John come from heaven or was it of human origin? It's a great one at that, a great question at that. Who do you think John was? Where did he get his authority from? John promised the forgiveness of sins to those who were baptized. Now, hear that for the affront it was to the religiously important people who belonged to the temple. They were the ones who insisted it was the sacrifices in the temple that took the sins of the people away. If they now say John was doing God's work, then that puts the kibosh on everything they do and hold dear. If, on the other hand, they say, John was a charlatan, the crowd will be down on them in an instant. Because the ordinary people, the common folk of Jerusalem, thought John was a holy man. And in a city full of wary Roman soldiers expecting trouble, who knows what disorder might lead to? The chief priests and the elders decide to say nothing. How that must have galled them, these proud characters who usually had a lot to say for themselves. Change is so hard. Because one little change can upset so much of our lives. Look at the pandemic that we are in. In the beginning, most of us, or many of us, sheltered in place. Food was scarce, people lost their jobs, and so on. But we did it. In the beginning, because we wanted to be safe. Now, we just crossed over the 200,000 deaths. And there is worry that we may be heading into a second wave. We're tired of the change. It has dramatically changed our lives. And we want to be able to get back to our old normal selves. Safely. We may have entered a zone of permanent change, which scares us. We will have to welcome it or risk being very ill or even dying. The priests were not able to welcome change because it would create confusion. Perhaps it would even curtail their power. We hear that in their response, if we don't know, to Jesus' question. They did know. They thought it through. We hear their thinking process. And they didn't like either answer. So they said, we don't know. Now, there are times we must change in order to be faithful. For years, we believed that blacks had it good in our country. They could vote, they could own businesses. But over the past spring and summer, we have recognized that blacks don't have it nearly as good as we thought. And we need to change how we relate to people of color. We need to change how we think about God and about how we think that God thinks about gays and lesbians, as we have faced the history of abuse and violence toward gays, which is very unbiblical. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. And that is the spirit that must be behind our relationships with all people. We have to change, because it's not happening. We need also to be willing and open to transformation regarding ourselves, to be able to transform our feelings about ourselves. Often we say we may not feel like God's beloved. We know all the things we have said and done. And so we don't believe that God's, the grace that God offers us. And because of that, then we can't allow ourselves to be transformed so we can experience that grace. I thought about how the caterpillar changes into the butterfly. Caterpillar has no say in the matter. All of a sudden they just go into automatic mode and start to form a chrysalis. I wonder how many butterflies we would have if the caterpillars had to decide they wanted to go through the metamorphosis, become a butterfly. We have the choice. We can take in the data and decide in the context of what we like and what we know. If you think about it, attending church is all about being open to change. Each week we come and listen to Scripture, and I preach what I believe the Spirit is telling me to say. And the idea of coming together week in and week out is to be transformed by God's Word to all of us, even you and me. If we are not open to or don't welcome transformation, why would we even bother to come to church? It seems to me that worship would be an exercise in futility or punishment. Recently I came across the following, which I think kind of sums it up fairly well. Some people don't want to accept their need for change. So the story is told about a doctor who told a man to give up red meat. So he stopped putting ketchup on his hamburgers. If we come to church without a willingness to allow ourselves to be transformed, it would be like quitting putting ketchup on our hamburgers instead of really giving up red meat. Something about the son who changed his mind and then went and worked in the vineyard transformed him. Somehow after he said no, he was thinking, honor your parents and all of those other laws. And, you know, I really should go work in the vineyard. While the other brother, was not open to being transformed. We can just imagine, says, oh yeah, Dad, I'll go, and then goes off because he never intended to go to the vineyard. He lied. Jesus lifts up those who are transformed. Jesus lifts up those who are open to change for the better. Change for inclusion. And in process, he chastises the closed-mindedness of those who felt like they had it all figured out already, which was the temple hierarchy. Today's gospel challenges us to look at our lives and to consider if there are areas we have shut out the Spirit's transformation of our lives and our spirits. May God give us the courage to live our lives open to change, open to the power and life of the Spirit of God in our midst. May it be so for you. May it be so for me. Amen.